Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, I want to look at dealing with distractions to discipleship, distraction to discipleship out of verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for your goodness to us and your grace. I thank you for the privilege of being able disciple of Christ, of being able to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a child of God. And Lord, I pray that tonight that you would just draw us even nearer to you than we were when we came in. Lord, if there's anything that may stand between us and you, that, Lord, you'd reveal it to us tonight and we'd lay it aside and we'd be even closer to you than before. Lord, I love you and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking about this here, there's some fellas here, three of them, that desired to be a follower of Christ. Two of them asked to follow Christ. One of them, Jesus called and said, follow me. In each case, you see a distraction, something that was keeping them from following the Lord Jesus Christ, from being a disciple of the Lord, and the Lord addressed it, things that were distracting them. When you think about being a disciple, we'll pull a Sunday school class here this morning, so I know it's Sunday night, so you have to speak up a little bit from your seat. But when you think about discipleship, or being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think about? Anybody? And put you on the spot here. Anybody, when you think about being a disciple, what is it to you? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Amen. Alex, you're preaching my message for me. You need to be quiet. I'm not coming back to you first. All right. Anybody else? When you think about being a disciple, yes, ma'am. Bringing somebody else along with you. Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Anybody else? What do you think about when it comes to being, what it means to discipleship, to be a disciple? Anybody? When you think about it. No trick questions. Just what do you think about? Yes, sir. Brother Nadaski. Following where he leads you. I think that's it. I think you look at some of these things here in this portion of Scripture, it goes, some of those very things are just simply following the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, sir, Brother Anthony. Knowing the one you're discipling. Knowing them, yes, sir. Maddox.
I just think like having an open mind and being able to have changes that are changing that
let God change you. Yeah, letting God change you. I think so. I think some of the things that come to my mind is just, first of all, just getting to know Christ. I think of that. When you see them come, Lord, I want to follow you. It's as if they're saying, Lord, I want to get to know you. I want to be drawn near you. I think of how Paul said that. He said that I may know him and the power of his what? His resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He said, I just want to get to know the Lord. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and experience his working in his life. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to go through the hard times with him. I want to go through the good times with him. I just want to know him. I think when it comes down to being a disciple of Christ or discipling him, it's about coming to know the Lord. I think it means to be a follower, a yieldedness, as was mentioned. Look what he says here in verse 57. He says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, and then this phrase, whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. I want to go with you wherever you're going. I want to get to know you. I want to go with you. Lord, it doesn't matter to me where you're going. I want to go everywhere with you. Lord, if you have this place for me to go, that's where I'm going. It's a surrender that is there. This fellow struggled a little bit with the understanding what he was getting into. But he said, I want, not only is it a discipleship, it's a matter of getting to know the Lord, but it's about following him wherever he's going. It's growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter would say it this, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to get to know him. I want to know about him. I want to go with him. I want to go wherever he's going. I want to be yielded to him. How about this one, to become Christ-like? Acts chapter 11, 26, and when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. To be Christ-like, to become like him, to take up his characteristics and his character. As Jesus was known for being just and to be holy and to be kind and to be merciful, to take up the characteristics of the Lord, to get to know him, to take on his characteristics, a yieldedness to him. It's about a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about saying, my life is yours. I'm going to spend my life following the Savior. I'm going to spend every moment of my life getting to know my Lord better. I'm going to follow him wherever he's going. I want to follow him. I want to take up his characteristics that others would define me, not based on who I am, but who he is, that they would look at my life and say, that's a Christian. That's a follower of Christ. That is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship isn't necessarily just a 14-week course. We have our discipleship ministry on Wednesday night, but discipleship, that's really just the beginning phases of discipleship. Discipleship is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is yielding to him. It's following him. It's growing in him. It's getting to know him. It is serving him. It's becoming like him. It is letting our life be defined by him. And in this passage of Scripture, God deals with some of the distractions to it. He deals with it in these three folks that were here. And I think of some of the distractions here. I think the first distraction we see is a distraction of ease. Look at verse 58. And it says, and Jesus said, or go back to verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Boy, there is the distraction, if you will, of ease. You know, I think there's a lot of distractions, a lot of hardships that came the way of that early church as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, they knew true persecution. When you came to know Christ as your Savior, you really put your life in jeopardy. You might very well be called to give up your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, literally to give your life and lay it down. Paul would lose his head. All the disciples, but possibly John, would die a martyr's death. Multitudes of the church would die a martyr's death. Literally, they faced imprisonment and death for their faith. When James wrote the church and said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. He was talking about a literal true trying of their faith, that they were going to be persecuted, imprisoned, and possibly die for their faith. Peter would write in his letters to the Christians that were scattered abroad, and they didn't scatter because they moved for work. They scattered because they were running from persecution. But, you know, you and I in our day, we face, I think, more of this type of struggle in our life. It is the distraction of ease. See, he looked at the man and he said, you know what, that's great if you want to be a follower of me, but he goes, foxes have all holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Because I don't have a home. I don't have a nest. I don't have a place I'm going home to. I don't know where I'm going to be tonight. He said, it's not going to be easy. Ultimately, he would lay down his life for us. And there is the distraction of ease. You know, the thing that what makes ease so distracting is that it's not necessarily bad, right? Tonight, I'm going to go home tonight, and at some point, I'm going to lay down in my bed with 3 inches of memory foam on it, all right? And I'm going to fall fast asleep, all right? I'm going to fall asleep, and it will be ease. But there's nothing wrong with that, is there? This summer, most of us have probably summer vacations planned, and nothing wrong with that. And to be honest, good things about it. We're one of the most blessed nations on the face of this earth, and for good reason. because of our founding, because of its pursuit. There's nothing wrong with ease, but you know, the thing about ease is that it's sneaky. Ease is sneaky. Because, you know, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. Am I right? But it's sneaky in this, that ease can begin to hinder. Ease can begin to hinder my discipleship and my walk with God and my service of the Lord. And it can begin to hinder my life and my devotional life and my walk with Him. I think of this, you know, I'm an early morning guy. I get up and, you know, I think when it comes to your personal walk with God, one of the best decisions you can make is to walk with God before you walk with men. In other words, make your time with God your first part of your day. Whenever your day begins, begin with the Lord. For me, that's 5 o'clock in the morning. My habit is to get up. I'll have my personal devotions. I'll walk with the Lord, and I'll have my prayer time, and then I'll begin a little bit of my preparation for messages, and I'll read over the passages of Scripture that I'm going to study. I may read different study things on the areas that I'm going to study, and that's kind of my morning habit before I ever get here, to just spend some time with me and the Lord, and then preparing for the Lord. But can I tell you what the biggest enemy of 5 o'clock in the morning is? 11 o'clock at night. Right? The biggest enemy of me walking with God at 5 o'clock in the morning is not the difficulty with which it takes me to get up. It's how easy it is to stay up the night before. See, what gets me in the morning, whether it's getting up and walking with the Lord, is not how hard it is, but just how easy it is to stay up so late the other night doing things that I enjoy that I cannot get up the next morning and walk with God the way I should. Ease. I would say for the most of us, that becomes the obstacle to our walk with God is not the morning of, but the night before. I would say this, one of the obstacles to our service for the Lord is not a desire to serve the Lord, but it's all the other things that we desire. See, I think for the most part, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if you've come to know Christ as your Savior, there's something inside of you that says, I want to serve God. But if we're not careful, we begin to end up in pursuit of the easy things of life. We're so filled with other things, we don't have time to serve God. I think when it comes to giving, I don't think it's so much when it comes to giving that we don't have anything to give, but that we spent what we had to give on the eases of life. See, one of the greatest distractions to, if you will, a discipleship and a true following of the Lord Jesus Christ is, if for you and I, there's folks with difficulties. I think of Mrs. Key struggling with cancer, and Brother Mercano, who has just been found out that he has Parkinson's, and the different things. There are hardships of life, but for the bulk of us, the biggest thing that stands between us and our service for the Lord, our growing in Him, our pursuit of Him, has nothing to do with hardships and persecution, but more to do with the sneakiness of ease. How sneaky it is in our life. That I will have pursued other things in my life, but not have pursued a soul in a week's time. That I would have walked in the eases of last week and not have walked with God. That I would have spent money on a lot of things, but not give as God called me to give. See, the Lord looked at this disciple and He said, I'd like you to follow me, but friend, ease is your enemy. It's not that ease is bad, and there's times that we ought to have ease, but as was said earlier in Matthew 16:24, it says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And I'll tell you this, I think many people aren't in church on Sundays and faithful, not because of how difficult it is to go to church, but how easy it is to do everything but go to church. I think the reason we stay out of our walk with God is not how easy it is to walk with God or how hard it is to walk with God, but how easy it is to fill our time with other things. Ease quickly becomes our enemy in our service for the Lord. I think we have to be constantly on guard in our life that I don't allow the pleasures of this life, and some of them are the blessings of God, to sneak up on me and rob me of the discipleship, my growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to become the pursuits of my life. Boy, how easy it is to pursue ease over Jesus. I remember working with a man and at a steel company. He would say this: my goal is that on the weekend, that every Monday, here's my weekend goal, that every Monday I would come in tired to work. And his goal was this: he would work all week long for the things he would play at on Saturday and Sunday. He would work his whole life long so that he could enjoy the ease in retirement. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with ease in retirement. But friend, if you're working all week long for the playthings and all life long for the playthings at the end, you're missing out on what God made you for. See, if we're not careful, ease becomes the pursuit. And ease, I think God put ease in our life purposefully. I do. How many times does the Bible say in the Lord's ministry that he went away into a desert place? You know, God gives us ease to refresh us for the battle. God gives us ease to strengthen us to go back to serving him. God intends for me to rest so that I can go back to serving him. He intends me to enjoy some easy moments of life so that I might stay faithful to him. But the thing about ease is it's so sneaky that if I'm not careful, it robs me of my growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. It robs me of my service for the Lord Jesus Christ. It becomes a distraction to knowing him, serving him, becoming like him. There was distraction of ease. How about this one? There was the distraction of faithlessness. That same verse, and Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Friend, I don't know. You're going to enter into the Christian life not always knowing how things will work out. Boy, isn't that the opposite? We want to know what the third step will be before we take the first step. We want to know the whole route before we take one step for serving the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11, verses 6 through 10, if you would. Turn in your Bibles there just to Hebrews 11, if you would, and keep your finger here. But familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure you know these verses, but go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that famous verse on faith. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And notice the importance and the priority he puts on faith, because he says without faith, it will be impossible for you to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? A step without faith cannot please God. A life without faith cannot please God. He said, he must come to God and believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. And then he begins to give us some examples of this kind of faith. He said, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." He said, there's a man named Noah who was warned of God of things he had never seen. Noah, I'm upset. My spirit will not always strive with man. This world is wicked and violent and sinful. I'm going to wipe it out with a flood. Well, what's a flood? Well, I'm going to send some water to wipe out this world. Noah, I've never seen it. And God says, build an ark. Build an ark. And for 120 years, he built an ark. Not having ever seen anything like it, and he built it. And he followed God. Look at the very next verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, I underlined these words, not knowing whither he went. he went out not knowing whither he went. He left home without a destination programmed into his GPS. He left home not knowing how far he was going. He left home not only not knowing how far he was going, but how God was going to work from where he was to where he was going to end up at. No clue. He would say, he would continue in this verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. That's a tent. That's a temporary place. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something he had never seen. Skip down, if you would, to verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He said, if they had thought too much about where they came from, if they had thought too much about all the things that were there, all the things they could see, all the things that were visible, all the things that they could understand, they might never have made it to where God had them to go. And they might have turned around and gone home. So you know, one of the biggest obstacles to following God faithfully is faith. We don't always understand how it's going to work out. We say, well, I don't understand how it's going to work out. That must mean God didn't intend for me to do it. Well, that flies in the face of faith, my friend. That flies in the face of what God intended. A matter of fact, it's kept many a man of being a true disciple of Christ. It kept this fellow more than likely at home. God had some wonderful blessings in store for him, but he wouldn't get to see them. Can you imagine if Abraham had said, Lord, I want to see the route. I want to see the destination. God would have said, well, then I guess you should probably just stay home. Because I'm not looking for someone to trust in a plan. I'm looking for someone to trust in the person of God. God's not looking for Christians who trust in the plan being perfectly laid out in front of them and every detail understood and everything worked out. He's looking for people who will say, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust Him. Because discipleship is a pursuit of Him. It is a pursuit of Him. It's about getting to know Him better. It's about getting to become like Him. I tell you what, if you're in pursuit of the Lord, there's some things that will distract you. And if you're not careful, ease will distract you. You'll find yourself all of a sudden having done everything else but follow Christ. And none of them bad, but all of them hindering. You'll find yourself not trusting, not having a faith that just simply, I'm putting one foot in front of the other and I'm going to follow God. Think of those Israelites as they left Egypt. They didn't know how they were going to make it through the wilderness. They didn't know how they're going to make it through the Red Sea or the Jordan River. Think of Joshua. He leads the people across the Jordan River, and then he comes up to Jericho. I picture him, he goes to survey Jericho. Do you remember that? I picture him standing over there and looking down at Jericho and so saying, how? You know, he was on the other side of Jordan. He didn't know how Jericho was going to fall. He didn't know how the battles would be won. But he knew the one he was going with. We want to know how the walls of Jericho are going to fall. We want to know how every battle is going to be won. And God says, I'm not telling you that. That's my secret. That's for me to know and you to find out. You ever been told that? That's for me to know and you to find out. Because you just trust me. There was a faithlessness was an obstacle to his following God. And I believe this, Christian, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to walk closely to the Lord, there's going to be times when you're just going to have to simply say, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to trust him. I know it's his will, and I know it's his direction, and I know it's what he wants. I don't know how the walls of Jericho will fall, but I know that there's one who can make them fall. And this man said, I'll follow you, Christ. And the Lord said, well, foxes have holes, but I don't have a place to lay my head. It's going to be rough for you, my friend. It's going to require some faith from you, my friend. There was the distraction of ease. There was the distraction of faithlessness. There was the distraction of priorities. Look at what he says next. Go back there to Luke. And boy, here's some hard statements to wrap your mind around. Jesus said this in verse 59, and it says, and he said unto another, this is Jesus calling a man out from the crowd, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Boy, there's a hard statement, right? Boy, you think preachers today preach hard. That was a hard message right there. Lord looks at him and says, follow me. And he goes, well, let me go bury my father. And the Lord says, well, let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Now, the teachings are more than likely the man's father wasn't necessarily truly dead. But what he was saying is, I got a family at home. I've got a father at home. He's not far. He goes, let me spend some time with him. And when that's done, I'll follow you. And the Lord said, no. Or it could have been that the guy's father really had died. And God's just saying, you have to choose what you want today. But it was, if you will, it was a question of priority. Remember the command in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. See, it wasn't that God was saying give up on family. We know that would fly in the face of God's word, right? For instance, the Lord tells the husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband, even as Christ, or even as the church. Anyway, it's a picture of Christ in the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. It was said to the father, hey, raise those children up, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Psalms 127, the Lord would say, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift of God. But what God was saying is this, the priority of it all must be me. Must be me. See, I think the epidemic of our day is that we make God a means of a good family. We see God as the means of having a good family. We say, I want to have good kids. I want to have a good marriage. I want to have a good home. How do I have it? God. And God says, no. I am not the means. I'm the reason. I'm the purpose and I am the point. I am not a method. I am the point. He said, this is about knowing me, not me blessing you. And he looks at him, he said, this isn't about me meeting the needs of your home. This is about you and your home deciding to follow me. He said, you just follow me. He said, friend, you're going to have to decide to follow me. You're going to have to say this. We don't go to church so that we can have a good family for its teachings. We're going to say we go to church to get to know God. I don't read my Bible and we don't have those family devotions just so I can have a good family. What we're doing those things for is so that we can get to know God. I'm not going to teach you, son, how to walk with God just so you can know how to walk, just so you can be a good moral person. I want you to get to know God. See, we begin to focus too much on the byproduct of the person rather than the person. And when you focus on the byproduct, you miss the person. You miss the person. And the point is that we would spend a life in pursuit of him. That we would say, hey, kids, come with me. We're going to follow the Lord, and we're going to the Lord's house, and we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to walk with God, not so that we can be good people, but so that we can know the only good one, and his name is Jesus. That we might know him in the power of his resurrection, that we might be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going through life just to be good people. We're going through life because we weren't good people, and there was a good one who died for us, and we want to know him. That's the reason we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why each day walking with God is important. And that's why serving God is important and not something to abandon. Because if you're just looking at those things as a means to good family, there will be times when you'll abandon those things for other things that you think will be good for your home. Missing the point that God is the point. The point is not that we would have good homes and good families. The point is that we might know him. A byproduct of knowing him is that he conforms us to the image of his son. And that's better than you'll ever be on your own. It's because he shapes us and changes us. Many times we're looking to have a good something and a good this, and we say, God, give me a good this and give me a good that. And look, I want to have a good family too, but I know this. The point isn't that I have a good family. The point is that every one of them know God and walk with God and know what it's like to serve God. Know what it's like to share the gospel and tell someone about Jesus Christ, to have a heart for serving the Lord, to have a commitment to his house and a walk with God, that they wouldn't get caught up with the eases of life, and that they would be willing to trust God and move forward by faith because they're in pursuit of a person. Not just a home that we look at and say, well, this is a good place. I tell you this, if you get in pursuit of the person, everything else falls in line. That's what he meant when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the distraction to discipleship is that we gain wrong priorities. It was follow me. Follow me wherever I'm going. Where are you going, Lord? Well, that's for me to know and you to find out. Follow me. Well, Lord, is it going to be easy? No, probably not. But it'll be a whole lot of fun. You get to see things you won't get to see anywhere else. Everybody else, they're going to be bored with tomorrow because they're going to only go to things they play in. But I'm going to take you through some things. You won't have a clue how it's going to work out. And then you'll see God do it. Everybody else, they've got their well-played well-laid plans, but the reality is the next day they don't even know they have tomorrow. But I'll lead you exactly where I'm going, and you'll see me do things that nobody else gets to see because you just trusted me and you followed me. You didn't need the eases of life. It didn't all have to be about all the different ways that you could be entertained or all the fun things that you could do together. It could be about just serving me and following me, and all of a sudden you'll find out how much fun it is to serve the Lord. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness. He said the wrong priorities are a distraction. How about this one? The last one, the distraction of non-commitment. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. You'd think this guy didn't listen to a word said, right? And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I think when you read this portion of scripture, here's this guy, he hears the one, Lord, I'm going to follow thee. And he goes, well, I don't have a place to sleep tonight. The foxes have it better than I, and the birds have it better than I, but I don't know where I'm going to lay down my head tonight. He goes, wow. The next guy comes along and says, Lord, let me bury my father. And he goes, nope, just follow me. And this guy says, well, let me at least go home and say bye. But I think what this guy was doing is he was looking for a way out. Let me think about it. Lord, let me seem like I'm going to go with you right now, but all when I'm out of sight, this isn't happening. See, I don't think God has a problem with him saying goodbye to his family. Let me tell you another man in 1 Kings 19:19-21 who got this point. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. There's a man named Elisha. Elijah's passing the mantle. He said, "My ministry is now your ministry." He throws it over his shoulder. And Elisha said, "Well, let me go back and say goodbye." And Elijah knew what Elisha meant. And he went back and he grabbed two of those 12 and he slew them as a sacrifice. Took that yoke that was needed to make a living and he broke it and built a fire. Built that fire and sacrificed those oxen, fed the folks around him, and went after and never looked back again. He followed Elijah so closely that when Elijah tried to get rid of him before he was caught up into heaven, 3 times Elisha had to look at him and say, "I'm not going anywhere. Not getting rid of me. I'm in it for the long haul." I think this fella here was, well, you know, let me go say bye. Let me go get permission. Talk to my wife, talk to my family. Let me see how it's all going to work out, and then we'll see. And God said, "No. If when you want to follow me, you put your hand to the plow and don't you dare look back." He said, "I'm not looking for half-hearted followers. Someone who's looking to see if they've got it all figured out or if it's going to go the way they want or if they like the area they're going to sleep that night or if they don't like the way it's going to sleep tonight. If they're going to have all the things they want or if they're just going to simply follow me." He said, "I'm looking for someone who says, I'm going to follow him, period. Take me in the fox's hole, I'll follow you. Take me in the bird's nest, I'll follow you. Put my head on a pillow of rocks and put my head on a pillow of rocks. Take me into a jail like Paul and Silas, I'll go to the jail. Take me to the island of Patmos to be exiled like John, and I'll go to the Isle of Patmos. Put me a night and day in the deep, and I'll spend a night and a day in the deep. You put me on that shipwrecked island, you put me wherever you want in the stoning of Stephen, but I'm going to follow you. Period. You bless me with the blessings of heaven and give me a life of ease as I serve you, then I'll take it. But Lord, if you give me the hardest of life, I will follow you, period." He said, if you're going to follow him, it's going to be because you choose to follow him, period. Discipleship is saying, I'm in it for the long haul. And it's a distraction sometimes. We want to follow God, if we're not careful, half-heartedly thinking about it. What am I going to do? I think of our seniors graduating, some at homeschool and some in school. You have to decide, are you going to serve God all the way or part way? Adults, we decide, whether we'll still serve God every day all the way or part way. We decide what will distract us from our service, what will distract us from our walk. We decide. And God says, "I'm not looking for the non-committal. I want you to simply say, I'll follow you, period. Don't put your hand to the plow and look backwards. You won't get anything done." I think of that as those fellows would plow back then. Farmers used to do it. Now they use GPS. They fix their eyes on an object down the line. They fix their eyes down the line. They don't take their eyes off. That's how they get those straight rows. They're looking in front of them, or they're looking behind them, or the side to side, their row's going to go like this. So when you put your hand to the plow, don't you look back. There'll be some things in that back country that you begin to want. Your line will get crooked and swervy and unfit for the kingdom of God. He said, you put your hand to the plow and don't let go. I don't know about you, but when it comes to the Lord, I want to know him. I want to be a disciple of his. I think of how Paul said it, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I think if you know Christ, if that Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, there's something inside of you saying, I want to know him. If that's not there, then you got a whole other problem tonight. It's salvation. But there ought to be something inside of you that says, I want to know him. I want to grow to know him better. I want to let me know what it means to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to be known as Christ-like. I want who I am not to be defined by me, but defined as Christ-like character. And here's some fellows who I think spoke up in earnestness. Lord, I'll follow thee. Follow thee wherever thou goest. And the Lord said, will you? Well, it's not going to be easy all the time. It's not always going to be well mapped out, and everything's not going to be planned for you. You're going to have to trust me. Said, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to have faith in me. You're going to have to give up some of the ease of life. You're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to be committed and have the right priorities. Families, you're going to have to say our family is about him and letting God take care of the remainder. I'm going to pursue him, fully committed to him. And God says something. He goes, that's where discipleship is at. But if we're not careful, we get really distracted. Ease sneaks up on us, doesn't it? Next thing you know, we're doing the things we know. We're doing other things. Not bad things, but other things. We're not taking a step because we don't see how it's going to work out. And God says, trust me. Not having that commitment to the Lord that is needed. We're distracted by the wrong priorities. And God simply says, follow me. How that verse goes on from there, it says, well, in the next chapter, next chapter, just a verse away, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he set himself would come. I think some fell by the wayside, but some took off for the Lord. At least 70 others also. At least 70 others also said, well, don't know where I'm sleeping tonight, but I know who I'm going with. Don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know who I'm in pursuit of. My priority is Jesus, and I'm committing all the way to follow him all the way to the end. That's discipleship. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the word of God.